Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is David Maricatani with Matt Chat. Today it is my real honor to be joined by Coach John Smith from Oklahoma State University. Coach, before I get into the questions, first of all, just thanks for taking the time to do this, and thanks for letting us put it on video here at Track Wrestling.
You bet, Dave.
So you got a chance to, you know, run into you a little bit yesterday and talk to a lot of people about some of the questions I want to ask you, and there's so many thoughts going through my head, so I'm just going to kind of dive right into it. The last time I think I saw you was just recently in Nebraska at the World Team Trials. And really, I just want to start with, what are your thoughts on the state of American freestyle wrestling where we are today?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we're always striving to be a little better than what we've been, you know. I think, winning a couple medals at the Olympics and 2016, you know, I don't think that's what we're looking for, just two medals. It was nice that one of them was a gold, though, right?
Right.
Good thing. And, I think that, the direction of where wrestling has gone a little bit at the international level with six weights limits you a little bit to maybe have stronger teams than you, like you've had in the past. So we got to kind of refocus and probably – you know, gather up our ideas of how we can, you know, get back to 4 and 5 medals. You know, I think there has been a nice move. I think we're going to see next year with the additional weight classes, and, mm-hmm. and that's real good for the sport and as well as keep people involved, you know. Sure. I've always said world championship was just as important to me as an Olympic gold medal, and at times I felt like they were tougher to win and probably are tougher to win because everybody's there. You know, with the Olympics being a qualifying event, you got to qualify to go. Sometimes you don't see some of the guys that cause you problems because they can't get there.
That's really an interesting point. Yeah. I never thought about
you know,
it that
so
way.
There's definitely several wrestlers in the world that guys have to compete against that have problems with them. But yet they can't qualify through their hemisphere or through their qualifier. So, to me, a world championship's a lot tougher to win than an Olympic gold medal today because of the number of additional people you have to go through.
It's interesting, and you're really one of the few people qualified to make that statement. A lot of us is just conjecture. We're seeing, I think, a trend, like you mentioned about the two medalists, that the guys that are doing well seem to be getting younger and younger. I spoke to Cody Bickley at USA Wrestling. He said the age of the medalist in 2012 were 26 point something, and this year was 23 point something. What, as a guy that's seen and done everything, what do you attribute that trend to?
I don't know if it's a trend. I mean, it was a route I took as well, coming in a young age, finishing up pretty young as well. But I think the grind of a college season has prepared maybe our last two medalists at the Olympics, prepared them to have strong performances. That's not the model I think we should be using is, you know, we need some guys that have been in freestyle for 2 and 3 and 4 years and out of school and that are winning gold medals as well. So we might get that in the future.
You sure.
It's just a dynamic that, guys like Bill Gazadek need to figure out, you know, two medals is not enough. You know, we need to do better than that. We're better. Got a lot of resources that, a lot of places don't have. We should be doing better.
Well, and you touched on this, the thoughts on the folk style versus freestyle debate. My opinion is that the collegiate season, the grind, making weight, all that stuff, and just the physical and mental toughness that goes with that. You've seen that with guys like Jordan Burroughs come right out, Jake Herbert come right out, Jaden come right out. Kyle Snyder come right out. But my opinion is really, you know, a drop in the bucket compared to somebody with your knowledge. So what do you think on the thoughts on the folk style versus freestyle debate?
I don't know if there's really a debate. I mean, I don't know what you mean by
debate. Well, I guess these guys that are leaving folk style and jumping right into freestyle.
Well, we've been successful for a long time doing that, right?
Right.
A lot of our first-time medalists have come straight out of that scenario where they finish their collegiate season in March and in August or September win a medal at the World Championships. We won a lot of gold medals, you know. It's just that routine of training probably that's made the difference and a level of conditioning that you can only get in folk style wrestling. So that's a good thing we have, you know. I don't think that's a disadvantage for us by any means. I think it's definitely an advantage to our teams that we have some of those guys making it.
Yeah. I got a lot of questions. I'm going to kind of jump around. I just literally spoke to one of your ex-athletes and, you know, told him I was about to do this interview. And he said one of the questions he brought up was, what was it like growing up in your family? You know, I know you guys use the phrase pressure is a privilege at Oklahoma State. I know the expectations are of greatness, but growing up with Leroy and the Perry family, and, you know, I know you guys are all family. And, you know, I've talked to Chris about this, you know, his national titles were expected. How have you guys dealt with that, and how have you guys literally done so well? You kind of figure, like, someone's going to eventually just kind of not be that good, and it seems like you guys just keep doing well. Where do you think that all comes from, and how do you think you guys are making that happen?
Well, I think, you know, it's there's a level of support system there that you need in a family that really creates an environment where you don't feel the pressure, but yet you know, you're doing this to see how far and how deep you can get into the sport, you know. So I think it's a long answer, put it that way, you know. But to simplify it is it's a support system that allows for success, you know, that diminishes the pressure a lot of times between siblings. You know, one sibling feeling like they have to do what another one did. That doesn't exist, really. You know,
your family's not like that.
No, it's being proud of your whatever each one has done and using it to help you rather than affect your personality or affect your desire to do as well as you can. You know, so we shouldn't be penalizing ourselves because I have a brother that was a superstar. You know, we should reward ourselves and learn as much as we can from them and be proud of them and be proud of our own accomplishments.
Go out and carve your own path in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and this leads to, you know, besides your parents and your family, who are some of the most important mentors or centers of influence that led to your success as an athlete?
Well, you know, I'd start with my oldest brother, Leroy. You know, I mean, it's growing up and him being the oldest that started in the sport, you know, he was always kind of there. And sometimes he was tough. There wasn't anything easy about it. I mean, he was a tough guy on me, especially.
Yeah.
You know, you know, you get to train with them when they're doing some special things like trying out for the world team and trying out for the Olympics. You know, and you realize real quickly you're not in that league. You envision wrestling being one thing, and all of a sudden when your brother's trying out for the Olympics and you're seeing the level of commitment there, you realize, you know, that's not me, you know. And if it's something I want to do, I get where I need to go. So being able to visualize that and seeing it was very important for me, you know. Although it was hard and at times I didn't want to do it, you know, in the end it was real important in my career. So Leroy obviously was a powerful influence. Tommy Chesbro, you know, Tommy Chesbro was my first coach here at college and coached me for 1 year. But I spent a lot of time with him when I was from the ages of 15 to about 18 doing camps that he did here in Stillwater all over the country back when, you know, several camps was real popular to do. You know, I spent a lot of time just developing skill and technique under him, you know, and really was the first guy that sent the message to me that skill and technique was going to win. You know, and that's always been my theory, is first skill and technique, and then conditioning, you know. And, you know, we all know if you don't have conditioning, it's hard to win anything.
Sure, right.
But I really put the emphasis in my career on my skill. And I just had a lot of pride about finishing matches hard and never letting anybody convince me that you're going to wear me out, you know. So, you know, we tend to have put a lot of emphasis on conditioning and how hard it is to get in that shape. Well, I never looked at it that hard because I was just going to be prepared, always prepared. And I was going to outskill you, and I was going to utilize my skill and technique. But really, Coach Chesbro was the one that kind of put that into my head. And really, it was something I used my entire wrestling career, you know, that I wanted to get better. I wanted to bring something new to the table each and every year after each championship. I wanted him to see a little bit of a different wrestler the following year. Like, he's added something, you know, and now he's got a leg lace, you know, now he's got a gut wrench to the left side, you know, and now he's got a good high crotch, you know. So, you know, it was important to me to continue to develop my skill because that's the way I thought.
Yeah, it sounds like he's not only influenced your athletic career, but how you coach your guys. That's really interesting. I think I've read you say, or heard you say that your match with Jim Jordan was a crucial point in your career. Then it seems to me that, like, losing seems to influence mentally strong people significantly more than weak people. What adjustments to your training and mindset did you make after that match?
Well, I think when you think of Jim Jordan, I was a true sophomore in college, and he was a senior that year. I just felt like he shut me down completely. You know, I just didn't have really an answer to him. And of course, he had a lot of power that I didn't have at the time. You know, I think, you know, it was just one of those matches when you walk off and you're going, you know, if I wrestled this again in a week, I'm not sure I would have beat him in a week. You know, and if I wrestle in 6 months, I'm not sure I would have beat him in 6 months. You know, you know, I'm proud to see what he's doing. You know, right now, I mean,
yeah.
You know, he's as tough as a, you know, a House representative he ever was as a wrestler, too.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those things that I just didn't have an answer. So, again, what do? You tell yourself, man, I got to get better. You know, so it was a time as a sophomore, 19-year-old sophomore in college, going, got to get better, you know. I can't beat this guy today, and I probably wouldn't beat him next week. You know, a lot of us come off the mat saying I could have won that match. Well, I couldn't have won it, you know.
Yeah.
So I was convinced that it was time to get better.
Yeah, and I think that honesty is really interesting. When I spoke to you at the Big 12s, you and I had a conversation about how difficult it is to do what Jaden Cox and Kyle Snyder did this year, to come back and compete in the NCAAs after winning Olympic medals. You know, the mental letdown, the difficulty of keeping focus, et cetera. And you told me a great story about your experience in that situation with Gil Sanchez. Would you mind telling that story again for the people watching?
Yeah, you know, I won a world championships. I didn't wrestle in the Olympics that year. I wrestled in the Olympics after my senior year. But
right.
My junior year, after I won the NCAA championship, I wrestled in the world championships that year and won the world championship, came back the next year. And my first match back got beat pretty handily by Gil Sanchez. Just a really humbling experience for me, you know. Kind of embarrassing being a world champion and losing your first match back.
Back in college,
I think those that out there that knew Gil at the time knew how good he was as well. I mean, it wasn't a slouch. I ended up wrestling Gil Sanchez in the finals of the NCAA championships that year, too.
He was legit.
So yeah. He was a legit guy. But really what happened was I neglected to realize how tough collegiate really is.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I wasn't ready on the bottom. You know,
and he was really good on top.
And he was good on top, and I didn't respect that. I forgot how hard it was to ride. You know, I forgot about all the scrambles. You know, I forgot about a lot of things that you spend from the time you finish up. You know, I was in a redshirt year that year, so you know, I was away from it, right? And in the end, I never made that mistake again, you know, not only as a wrestler, but even as a coach. So I know there's a big difference in folk style wrestling. It's tough. It's tough. Top and bottom's tough. It's nothing easy about it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I got whipped after winning the world championship was on top and bottom.
You got to tell the part of the story about after you lost. What happened?
Well, I got beaten. I ended up, a couple days later, going over to chasing him at a tournament over in Omaha. And I just couldn't stomach it, you know.
You told Coach you were going whether you weren't
going.
Well,
I ended up going, and my team ended up, you know, I think a couple of us traveled over there. The team came back after the dual meet in Lincoln. But to make a long story short, it just I was determined that was a fluke. And I ended up going over and wrestling him, you know. I want to say it was – I can't remember if it was a day later or 2 days later or maybe the next weekend.
It was close.
I think it might have been a couple of days later, you know. We wrestled dual meet Lincoln. And I go over there, and I'm convinced that I'm just going to tear into him and this.
You're going to wreck him this time.
Well, right? I ended up winning by two and felt like I just hung up. You know, I realized that this guy's good,
this guy's really good.
Maybe I need to go back and start working on my skill a little bit back in folk style, how to get off the bottom.
I love that story when you're telling to me just how you wouldn't let that taste of defeat.
No, and I did win, but it took everything I had. You know, it wasn't easy. You know, it's not what I thought. I thought I was going to go over there and put on a show for myself to rejuvenate my attitude, you know, but I found out this collegiate is tough and this guy's good and I better respect him. And we ended up wrestling the NCAA championships.
Yeah. Well, I know the wrestling community, deservedly so, looks at you as a wrestling innovator, someone who literally changed a sport with your low level attacks, your footwork, and your high level and high percentage finishes. How do you look at your impact on the sport from that perspective?
Well, I think you look at it and you did influence, you know, you just feel pretty, you feel good about some of the things that you've done. And in the end, I think we've had a lot of Americans do that. You know, I look at guys like Tom Brands, you know, and attitude and the confidence, him and Terry, the confidence they had. They influenced a lot of people and just their pure attitude on the mat, you know. Maybe I did it in skill, but a lot of guys like Tom and Terry did it with attitude, and people were influenced by that. And even Kel Sanderson and his finesse and combination with, going to the head and doing some things that just, you know, for a big guy was impressive, you know.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I don't think it just was me. I think we had a lot of people that have been people that have changed the sport in some ways, in different ways, you know. We've been influenced quite a bit by the Russians, you know. Guys like Fedzaev and Belglazov, Satiev, you know. Mm-hmm. People, we see some of the things they're doing, and we bring it back to America. So, I'm one of few. It's interesting to see the low single leg when I hit it back in from 87 through 92 and what, seeing how it's developed over the years and how individuals have taken it even further, you know, things that I didn't do, you know, but sometimes you get credit for it.
You started that evolution though.
Sometimes
for sure.
You get credit for it, but really I didn't finish that way or, you know, do some of the things. So, it's healthy, you know, that's what we call evolving the sport.
Right.
And it never, if you sit around and wait, you're going to fall behind because of sports involved.
Yeah, and that leads to my next question. I actually think you helped create another style of wrestling, although probably unintentionally. I think with the guys that you trained and how successful they were at the leg attacks you were doing, that people couldn't defend it. So things like ankle diving, passovers, and the new scrambling world developed because these guys couldn't keep you off their legs or guys off their legs, so they just started going in the other direction. Do you look at it that way? And how do you feel about the defensive style of wrestling and scrambling that that's so prevalent in college wrestling today?
Yeah, I don't know if I did any of that, really. I mean, it's that's there's, you know, but whatever. You know, it's probably credited to a lot of people that created some of that. But, you know, we're probably talking more like for folk style wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty exciting. You know, people that sit around and say, that's not exciting. I don't get it. You know, you know, I mean, some of it's diehard freestyle people, right?
Right. Old school. Yeah.
But I mean, there's some good stuff going on, you know, pretty exciting. And you know, nobody wants to sit around and watch somebody, you know, stand around and go 1-1.
Right.
You know, that's not any good in freestyle or folk style. There's a lot of things going on in folk style right now, especially in two matches. Guys want to win, and we're seeing some unbelievable scores. And you know, I agree with a lot of people. I don't want to see somebody just hold someone down.
Right.
You know, I don't care for that. You know, but you know, we don't see that very often anymore. You know, it's hard to hold people down. A lot of things have gone to our feet. You know. I'd like to see some baseline defense again. But you know what? There's some guys out there that just love collegiate style, and they don't plan on wrestling any freestyle.
Yeah.
Right? And right. They're good.
Yeah.
You know, think of how many national champions over the last, you know, 50 years that never stepped on, never tried freestyle.
Right.
They're out there.
There's a lot of
right?
them.
Right? They were great folk style wrestlers, and they could roll through your legs, and they could scramble. You know, so... You know, I don't mind having some of those guys. You know, they evolve folk style wrestling. I mean,
right.
Those are the guys evolving it. You know, so those are the guys that we're trying to figure out how to stop someone from jumping through our legs. And they're putting us on alert that something's coming that you're not going to see in freestyle, you know.
Right.
So I like it. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a proponent of where that goes. You know, it's forced me to learn a lot of wrestling, folk style wrestling on the mat.
Keep evolving.
Absolutely. If you sit down and wait for that, they're gonna kick your ass with it.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you touched on this a little bit, but I really wanted, you know, personally, I want to know in your mind, what set you or, you know, the Kyle Snyders, the Russians you talked about, the highest level Olympic champion, the Jordan Burroughs. What are the traits that set a champion apart? I mean, I think of things like mental toughness, athleticism, intellect, tactics, technique. You spoke specifically about technique and skill. What are these things that you see these in a bundle in a person? You go, I think that guy could be special. I think he could be a world or Olympic champion.
You know. Sometimes your career was so long ago for me that I don't want to. You know you. You don't want to get into it, but let's take a Kyle Snyder. You know, I just see him scoring all the time at critical moments, you know, critical moments where champions are made, where you win gold medals, you win national championships. I mean,
yeah, with Kozlowski a couple of years ago.
I mean, you just critical moments, you just execute, you know, those not afraid to execute, not afraid to be the one that pulls the trigger, you know. I guess that's easy to say. How do you develop that? You know, I mean, that's the key.
That's hard, right?
Yeah, that's that mentality that you've built up, and there's a determination level of how you were brought up. And, you know, for me, you know, it was, you know, I was brought up with an older brother that was tough on me. And I was brought up in a system here at Oklahoma State that was, you know, skill related and tough guys and tough people. And, you know, you're not, you know, if I need to score, I'm going to learn how to score, you know. So, you know, there's no system. I mean, sometimes the system is, we all got lucky because, I shouldn't say lucky, but we all were fortunate to be in and around people at the right time in our life.
Yeah.
Right?
Sergeant alignment.
And I think there's a lot of people, a lot of athletes that are in that situation but never take advantage of it.
Right. Yeah, for sure, right?
Lazy. Maybe don't want it as much as the next guy. Maybe they don't, you know, they're not interested in being a freestyle wrestler, you know, want to attack that. So, you know, I just think, you know, most of us are in a pretty good environment. Once you get to college and you get, you know, I mean, you get to the right program, most of us are in a pretty good environment that we can we have those opportunities. I mean, I'm not talking about being a six-time world champion, but maybe have an opportunity to win an NCAA championship, have an opportunity to make a world team, do some of those things, and how we want to use them just kind of depends on how much we're willing to focus on the people that make differences for us.
Yeah, yeah, that's an interesting point. I kind of want to jump a little bit over to collegiate now. Just first of all, what do you think the state or the general health of college wrestling is?
Well, I think we just probably had our last couple of years, the best collegiate seasons we've ever had.
Yeah.
In the history of the sport. You know, I think we're living the good old days right now, you know, with attendance and with, you know, level of athletes that we have, becoming All-Americans. We're the number of schools that are now in the middle of being competitive. I think if you look at, you know, 80 years ago, I think you could only look at one or two programs that could, you know, win a championship or have a guy that could win a national title. I think today it's a different story. You know, it's
finalists from so many different schools. Yeah,
it's just a different story, and you know, I don't know. I mean, sometimes we're so consumed by what can be wrong with wrestling rather than kind of waking up going, wow, this is really a great season for college wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at the negatives. There's negatives in every sport, you know. I don't think we ever feel relaxed like we're in great shape, but I do think sometimes we just need to kind of recognize a lot of good things are happening. You know, and you look at Oklahoma State, you know, this past year we had 8 All-Americans, more than we've ever had in a program that's over 100 years old.
Yeah.
We set a record that can never be broken in Gallagher-Iba Arena, you know, our most attendance, you know, ever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not talking about even 50 years ago, you know.
Yeah.
We had our best season ticket sales ever. I think a lot of programs have that.
Yeah.
You know? I think sometimes we gotta go, hey, it's good right now. You know, I mean, could we lose another program, drop another? Yeah, but that's, you know, sometimes that isn't in our control.
You got to control what you can control.
Yeah, and I think we do a pretty good job. I was a little disappointed that the national duels is not going to happen next year, but maybe setting out a year and refocusing on what the plan needs to be is good. I'm willing to suspend it for a year. We shouldn't do that. You know, those are things that we shouldn't do.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but, yeah. You know, let's see where it goes. Let's try to rebuild it and get everybody on board. And we need a national duel. So we'll see where it goes. I think we could see some changes in college wrestling. Maybe, maybe not. But in the end, I think there's a lot of good things happening, you know, and, you know, so I think we ought to just kind of recognize that we're in some good days right now in college wrestling.
Yeah. You know, I walk in this place today to do the interview with you, and it's been a few years since I just kind of looked around, and I walked in and I saw the list of coaches that have coached here, and the list is small and the list is elite. What does that mean to you to be a part of that list of the great coaches here from Oklahoma State?
Well, you know, you just kind of recognize that, you know, I'm part of this program. You know, this program made me, you know, it's, I'm not, you know, somebody that's made it, you know, it's made me. And I love playing that role. You know, it's a good role. I mean, it's an enjoyable role to know that you're part of something. You know, you're part of a legacy and that is sustained over a long period of time and that is your administration's committed to the sport. And, you know, so, you know, it's a good feeling to be a part of something, right? I mean, and I'm part of Oklahoma State and I'm it's helped make me, you know, who I am today.
Yeah. Here at Oklahoma State, you guys have the ability to recruit and sign the best kids in the country. I mean, kids grow up dreaming about being a cowboy. So you can obviously be very selective about who you bring into the program. What are the traits that you're looking for in a young man, and what are red flags that, that you tend to, you know, you would avoid at all costs?
Well, you know, first off, you don't get who you want. A lot of times, you know, people assume that. You get, that doesn't happen, you know. A lot of people are recruiting the kids, same kids you're recruiting.
Sure.
And you miss out a lot of times, but you just move on. And sometimes you don't always get what you're looking for. I mean, you'd like that, you know. But sometimes it doesn't work that way, you know. So, I mean, it's always good to have a student, somebody that's a student that can come in and handle the fact that, you know, they're going to focus on their academics and also be able to put a lot of time into wrestling. I mean, that's kind of the way it goes, you know.
Right.
So that student's important to us, you know. I would say most of the coaches would tell you the same thing, you know. It's nice to have good students, guys that are going to be committed. You know, it doesn't mean that they don't have to work hard or work harder than some of their teammates because they don't get it as easy. But those kids that work hard academically, they make it a lot easier on their coaches, you know. So
as a junior college guy, I really understand that.
Yeah. So, you know, you look for that student first because that's really important part. And, you know, for me, there's a lot of things you look at, David. But, you know, one thing about recruiting is you don't get always who you want. So you're getting sometimes you get a diverse of men, young men that have issues and problems that are different. And you work within that individual and try to make them a better athlete, better person, better student all around. And, you know, and you have problems. You know, problems do exist, you know, and there's issues all the time. You know, doesn't mean that we're not staying focused on our goals and the things that we want to accomplish. But, you know, nobody has a perfect program. I can promise you that, you know, and I'll be the first to tell you that, you know, but it's how you handle those problems, how you work through problems and how you get to a better place.
Yeah. It seems to me that over the years that your coaching style has adjusted, you know, adapted, evolution, those things we've talked about. It just from my point of view, it seemed at the beginning like you wanted to coach guys that were good at what you did as an athlete, and maybe less so now. You're just coaching guys and helping them get better at what they're good at and being good in these critical situations, scoring points in crucial moments. Am I observing that correctly? Not. And what's your point of view in terms of how do you look at the art of coaching?
Well, I don't know if I look for guys that wrestle like me necessarily. I like guys that wrestled like Tom Brands.
That's awesome.
Some guys that wrestle like Kale Sanders. I'd like to, you know, yeah. No, I don't. I think we're all looking for guys that can wrestle or you know.
I can win at that high level.
No matter. You hit a low single leg or if you hit a great double leg, you know. So I think it's a little bit of a, you know, over-exaggerated a little bit. But anyway, it's like I said, you know, you really want to focus on the guys that you get, you know, that decide to be Oklahoma State Cowboys and work within their abilities to be great, you know. I'll tell you right now, we all love guys that can score points, right?
Sure.
And I don't care how you do it, let's try to get it done.
Right.
You know, so all my guys don't hit a low single legs. You know?
Right.
You know, our last three-time national champion was a great post-high crotch guy.
Yeah.
You know, blowing right through him in a good near-arm far leg, you know. And he could get on your head and stay on your head, Alex Derringer.
Yeah.
You know, so his style was a little, you know.
Yeah.
You know, a little different. So it's exaggerated. So we're looking for guys that can score points, and how we get that done is can be different for all of them.
Yeah.
Where you make a mistake is trying to just focus on one style, right?
Right. There's a lot of different ways to win, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, a guy like you has been all over the world. You know, you've seen that more than
once. Can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm the son of a college wrestling coach, and I wrestled for him in college. You know, you're obviously coaching your son, Joseph, who's going into his junior year here. What is that like? How is it different from what maybe you anticipated it would be? And how hands-on are you with him versus letting him be coached by his cousin, Chris Perry, and some of your other coaches?
It's been good. You know, it's never easy. I don't think it's easy coaching your son, whether it's in high school or college. For Joe, it's been mostly trying to get him healthy, you know. So he's been injured a couple of times and had some issues with those injuries. But in the end, he's done a good job of bouncing back and trying to find a way to finish your season strong. So all that experience and adversity maybe that sometimes young people feel, you know, it's pretty good stuff, you know, especially as a parent watching your son go through it and going, hey, this will help him, and, you know, outside wrestling one day and make a difference for him when he needs it most. So it's good, and I look forward to finishing up his next couple of years, maybe 3 years. We'll see how that goes.
You're going to break red shirt news here right now?
No. but he does have 3 years.
Right, yeah.
You know, so whether he wrestles two and he has an additional year, maybe to get his master's program. But in the end, I'm excited about the 2 years he has left.
Yeah. Well, in many ways, this past season, really, like, and you touched on it with the attendance, but it was really sort of a storybook one for Oklahoma State. You guys destroyed the field at the Southern Scuffle, won the Reno tournament without sending a majority of your starters, went 28-2 at the Big Tens with 8 champions, 2 to runner-ups.
Big 12s,
excuse me, and had your entire team seated in the top 10 and ended up with 8 All-Americans. Yeah, but the home dual meet loss to Penn State and taking third at the NCAAs when you had to feel you could win it had to be disappointing. What are your impressions and feelings about this coming season from the last season? How do you learn from it? And how do you close the gap on Penn State?
You have your ideas of what needs to happen, and sometimes those ideas you take some time to develop. But I think we're in a good place. I think if you can have 8 All-Americans every year, I think you're going to win a lot of championships.
I agree.
You know, so it was one of those years that took more. And, of course, give credit to Penn State. You know, you put 5 in, you win 5. You know, that's going to be a hard number to beat, you know, no matter if you have 8 or not. But I think most years, I think, you know, you have 8 All-Americans, you're going to be right in the middle of it. So, you know, those are things that, you know, you don't look at your team in a way of we're disappointed with this. We're not disappointed, you know.
Sure.
It's a great year, you know, and let's do it again.
Right.
Yeah. Let's do it again. Let's have 8 every year, 9, you know, and I think we'll get our share of championships if you think that way. So it's a good year, and for us, you know, would be nice to have more finalists, you know, but that's not easy to say, you know.
Only 20 spots.
Yeah, there's only 20 spots, and you know, it's a tough battle, you know. So I'm pleased that the Big 12 is what we're doing in the Big 12 and the things in the proactive attitude of our conference.
Adding schools,
yeah,
things like
our
that.
Our commissioner, yeah. and our representative in wrestling. I'm encouraged by what I see what they're doing and what they're doing for Big 12 wrestling. They're helping us.
Good.
Helping all of us, and all of us that are part of Big 12 wrestling. It's good to see taking the lead in what needs to happen for our conference and maybe some other conferences.
Yeah, and it was really the event, the Big 12s this past year in Tulsa, you know, in a separate venue, not on a college campus, sort of the feel of what the NCAAs are like, a 2-day tournament, you know, a lot of teams versus when it was only 4 teams or 5 teams.
Yep.
Did you feel like that helped your guys with your preparation as well?
I don't know. Yeah, it helped, right? I just think that we've seen in the off season what's happened, you know, in our conference, and it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's going to get tougher. And, you know, it's good to see those things happening, you know, and that's how you become competitive, and that's how you help teams within your conference finish high and maybe win championships again.
Yeah. When, you know, one of the things, I mean, I'm kind of a wrestling nerd and study history, you know, and when Iowa won all those titles in a row, and then when Oklahoma State and you guys won those titles in a row, with Penn State now winning 6 out of the last 7, the term dynasty starts getting thrown around. Do you think having a team that's sitting on top, like when it was you guys and people were coming to get Oklahoma State, or now people are coming to get Penn State, or back in the day when Iowa was the team on top. Do you feel like that's good for the sport?
Oh, I don't. There's no question. I mean, Penn State winning is good for the sport. You know, we don't, I don't want to see them win anymore. Don't get me wrong, but what's happened, you know, I wish it wasn't at the expense of Kale Sanderson leaving the Big 12, you know.
Right.
But you know, in the end, it's not a negative. It's been a positive, and I just, you know, hopefully, you know, we've seen enough. Maybe change it a little bit.
That's a great way to say it. Well, I'm a huge fan of yours, and I think you could and should coach forever. So please take this next question from that point of view. How much longer do you see yourself here at Oklahoma State? And whenever you do leave, do you see yourself staying tied to the program in a different role? Would you ever consider being the national team coach? Or do you think you would step away entirely and just follow another path of passion?
Well, you know, I think when you coach a long time, people assume that, you know, you're thinking of retirement, you know. You know, started when I was pretty young, you know.
Really young, right?
Really young, yeah. You know, I think I think all coaches should make plans. I think one thing I've always done, I'll just say this, one thing I've always done since after about my third year in college coaching is I plan on coaching the next year, and I don't really give a commitment outside that.
Just take it 12 months at a time.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's a tough game. It's tough. It's not easy if you do it right. You know,
and
I think if, you know, you gotta look at it and say, are you ready to do it again? You know, and I've been ready, you know, I asked myself that, you know, a couple months after the season every year, and are you ready to go again? You know, and, I have been ready. So, you know, I think that you just, instead of looking at, I'm going to coach another 10 years, I'm going to coach as long as I'm ready to do it again, you know?
As long as you're excited about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know, whether you're 35 years old and you're coaching or whether, you know, you're 51, you know.
Sure.
Are you ready? Are you ready for that commitment? Are you ready for what's required over a 12-month, you know, season, which, you know, you really start thinking about your season a month and a half after Nationals. What's the plan? Who's falling into the lineup? Where do I need to go to recruit? What, you know, you start planning and making plans. So, you know, I've felt really good about where I'm at and what I'm doing. I feel really good, you know, and I've enjoyed it. You know, some of my best seasons have been the last several years, although falling a little short and winning the championship, they've been some good seasons and they've been some fun seasons. You know, we've done some things at Oklahoma State that we haven't done in a long time,
right.
You know, and that's, you know, strong attendance and strong message, you know, and, you know, having a lot of success. So, it's been good, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, when you talk about retirement, you talk about, you know, doing something else, you do that because, you know, for me it would be because I don't feel like I can maintain this, you know? So I'm not going to.
Furthest thought from your mind right now.
Huh?
That's the furthest thought from your
yeah.
mind right now.
You know, right now I'm in the middle of building a team for
to
the
go win a
2017 and 18 season, you know? So. It's been good. And, college wrestling's been good. I've enjoyed it probably more so in the last 5 to 7 years than I ever have.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been good. You know, I mean, we go and we're on TV for 3 solid days at the NCAA championship. I'd like to see us stretch our season out to where we're on TV more, especially our postseason wrestling. I mean, we need to stretch that out, not just 3 days. We need to figure out how we can be on for 6 days. They'll show it.
You're right.
If you think of the other sports.
6 day weigh-ins would be fun, but yeah.
I don't know if it's 6 day weigh-ins, but you know, you could tie in some national dual meets. You could tie them a lot. I mean, you look at a lot of the college sports, and there are not many of them that just have 3 days in postseason.
Yeah, the College World Series has been going on for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's way on.
Yeah,
but there's a lot more than that.
No, I'm saying
tennis,
the whole,
and you know, yeah. you look at golf and where they gone.
Yeah,
you know. So I think if we can figure out a way to stretch our season and postseason out to where we get more, you know, the 3 days of coverage ESPN has had for us has been outstanding. You know, let's get six or seven. You know,
that would be really cool. I mean, for those of us that love watching wrestling,
think about it. You know, it's anyway.
No, that's. Maybe we call ESPN after the interview.
We have a tendency, you know, what's that?
Maybe we call ESPN after this and put some things in the sug box.
Well, I don't know if it's ESPN. I think it's, you know, we take those steps
forward. It's the NCAA, and wrestling as a whole, right?
Yeah, we take the steps forward, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have a mutual friend, Randy Couture, and I've had a chance to socialize with him some and you some. And I always tell people I'd love to have your guys' life for like a week. You know, I would love to have won the stuff you guys won, but, you know, what didn't put in the work and the time. But you guys, you have to be so generous with your time. And you know, even yesterday at Junior Duels, you know, we're talking for 2 minutes and three people stop you for pictures. And Randy obviously deals with the same thing all the time. You know, what, for those of us that don't live that life, I mean, it's your normal, but it's very abnormal to us. You know, what is that like? You know, how do you learn to have so much grace in just all these situations? I know, you know, you represent not just John Smith, but the Smith family in Oklahoma State Wrestling. But, you know, tell me what that's like.
It's a big question. you know, I guess you could think of it that you never get it. You know, what that would be like, you know.
Sure. So, you know, that'd be just, like most of us.
Well, yeah, I think you got to respect it. You know, it's work.
Yeah.
You know, it's work. It's not bad work. You know, sometimes, sometimes you're in a hurry and you try to get somewhere and you need to slow down to take an autograph or something. But I look at it as a privilege and you know, I don't look at it as anything more than that. Just, you know, do your part and make someone happy, and it's that simple.
Yeah.
I'm a lucky guy.
Well, Coach, I can't thank you enough for your time, your generosity, and your insights. You truly are a legend of our sport, but you never act like it. And your friendship to me and my family means so much to me. Best of luck to you, your son, and Oklahoma State this season.
Thank you.
Is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network. For more wrestling podcasts, head over to matttalkonline.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.